can't believe that pastor just told me to have a seat on my lunch meat. Amen. Holy Spirit, I thank you right now for your presence and for your anointing. Lord, I pray for your flock, Lord God, your heritage. I pray today for wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. I pray that every eye of our understanding is enlightened today to see and to know the hope to which you have called us and to know the inheritance of glory that's been deposited on the inside of every person and know the exceeding greatness of your power that is toward us, Father, that same indomitable, irresistible Kratos power of God, that dead raising power of God to raise us out of every circumstance and every situation. I pray for that today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Somebody say amen. Now turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. We're going to continue our subject on the supernatural system of God. Now there's a B-side to this, and I am working things up towards the forbidden fruit. Amen. Which will we be talking about? Money, power, and sex. Amen. Praise God. You know what I mean? Those things ought to be submitted to the power of the Holy Spirit. The reason why I haven't yet jumped out on them is because I have to give milk first. Somebody say milk first. I got to lay a foundation, because this is why some of the most powerful men of God get crucified on the internet and crucified on the TV, because you have people who are babes in Christ making personal perceptions about them without understanding that these men of God, the price that they have paid to get the influence that God has given them. Now tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, don't be a dummy. If you ain't been ministering the gospel for 50 years across the planet, come on, say that. If you ain't been ministering the gospel for 50 years across the planet, you should not be speaking against somebody who ministered the gospel for 50 years across the planet. There's a reason why I'm saying that, because in Christendom, what has happened is that because we haven't understood Jesus' method of building his church. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19. Don't turn there. I'm just saying something. Jesus said that he said, I will build my church. Somebody say, it's Jesus' church. You don't go to Pastor Claude's church. I'm just a servant here. This is his church. Amen. And every other pastor in this city and all over the world, Jesus is the shepherd of this flock. Amen. I'm the under shepherd. Amen. But he has a method by which he builds his church. And every believer needs to know that method. If you don't understand that method, you put yourself in a dangerous position. This is where we get rebellion and we get witchcraft and we get all of these different sects, S-E-C-T-S, you know, divisions and schisms and isms in the body of Christ, and then different belief systems in the body of Christ. This is what happens because people who are immature in the faith make personal perception, and it causes division in the body of Christ. Because you do know this right here, that sheep hang around sheep, right? So when you are a sheep or you're in the flock of God and you're connected with other people, you got to be careful, because what will happen is that you could take your personal perceptions and you could begin to portray those images to people not having full understanding yet. Do you understand that? So our job is, and the reason why I'm working you up like this, that way when I open up the Bible and I begin to teach you today, I'm teaching from the perspective of somebody who has been doing this for 21 years. Somebody who has been trained, not just by the person of the Holy Spirit, but by other men of God. Amen. That way, when you get this word, it'd be like if you go to the hospital, you want a doctor that's doctored on you, that's been trained correctly. You don't care how much charisma he has. You want to make sure he know what he's doing before he start cutting on your belly. Amen. Somebody say amen. So it's important. So here's what I want you to do. By faith, I want you to take both hands. Do this right here. And your right hand represents my cup. Somebody say, this is pastor's cup. In my right hand, this is pastor's cup. In my left hand, this is my cup. My cup represents what I have in me. My thoughts, my ideas, my abilities, all of that. This cup over here represents pastor and him being called to the fivefold ministry. And his cup is full. And he's going to pour his cup into my cup. But before he do that, I'm going to dump my cup out. Not just dump your cup out by faith. There's a reason why I'm telling you that, okay? Amen. So we're going to go right to the word, and everything that I say is going to come from the word. I want you to write down, do whatever you need to do. Amen. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. I want you to read that on the count of the three with me. One, two, three. But seek ye the kingdom of God and his, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, if you read chapter 6, I'm just recapping. If you read chapter 6 throughout the whole entire chapter, you're going to find, watch this right here. You're going to find that Jesus is teaching on two different systems. Somebody say two different systems. He's teaching on the system of the world, and he's teaching on the system of the kingdom of God. Now, concerning that, this is what he did. Jesus began to talk about us having our needs met. Now, I'm not dealing with needs being met, but I'm dealing with carnal things, natural things concerning what keeps most people from really becoming a true disciple. A true disciple. On our Wednesday class, we found out in the book of Luke chapter 6 verse 40 that the purpose of discipleship is to become just like the master. Somebody say, just like the master. So the purpose of discipleship is to be like whoever the master is. In the case of the scripture, we know that Jesus is the master. So the purpose of discipleship is to become like Jesus. You know, have you ever asked the questions, Lord, why the wait? Why so long? And some people dump it up to the book of Revelations and get everybody scared and say, well, because, you know, we got to wait for the end times. And all. We've been in end times and we've been in last days since Jesus died on the cross. I could show you in scripture in the book of Hebrews that in the mind of God, the world as you and I know it. Hear what I'm saying? This is very important. The world as you and I know it in the mind of God ended when Jesus died on the cross. The Bible calls the system of the kingdom of God another world or another age or the power of the world or the age to come. So Jesus, in the context of Matthew chapter 6, he's telling his followers, he's saying, listen here, here's what I want you to do. I want you to seek the kingdom first. And a lot of times we misunderstand that scripture. We say, oh, he's telling us to put God first. But he's not saying put God first. He's saying seek the kingdom first. And then he says, and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What things is he talking about? Follow me and repeat after me. He said, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, and what you shall wear. There are thousands and millions of people today on the day that, at least in our country, that we know we celebrate, you know, Christianity, or we worship on this particular day. There are millions of people that are not in service today because they are seeking what they should wear, what they should eat, and what they should drink. They have prioritized their life and say, you know what, this is important. God has to understand and the pastor has to understand. But in the mind of Jesus, Jesus gave no type of reference in scripture where he understood anything other than his word. He said this right here. I don't want you to be like the Gentiles. Somebody said Gentiles. Gentiles are people who are not in covenant with God. Now raise your hand if you are born again. Come on, raise it up high. Born again meaning, now let me just say this again, because as a pastor it's funny because I watch people and I say, raise your hand if you're born again. Some people looking around to wait for somebody else to raise their hand because, you know what I mean? And then some people feel condemned because they don't want to raise their hand. You being born again has nothing to do with your personal performance. Has nothing to do with it. Has everything to do with what Jesus did, the sacrifice he made. Now, raise your hand if you're born again. Now, if you're born again, then you are not considered a Gentile. That means you are a person that is in covenant relationship with God Almighty. So Jesus said, you, the person who is in covenant relationship with God, I need you to seek first the kingdom. The Amplified Bible says, aim at and strive for God's way of doing and his way of being right. And all these things taken together will be added unto you or beside you. So he's letting us know that there is a place, according to operating in the system of the kingdom of God, whereby we don't have to worry and we don't have to fret and we don't have to toil and we don't have to run around like chickens with our heads cut off to get our natural needs met. Hear what I'm saying here? Because most people won't ever arrive to being that disciple because they're so busy trying to take care of themselves. But you were not created to take care of yourself. God is your source. God is your only source. And when you excommunicate or you cut God off from being your source, now you have become a God yourself. Come on, somebody say amen to this. When you think that you're supposed to take care of yourself, you have become your own God. So God is our source. And Jesus said, I want you to seek this kingdom first. Somebody say kingdom. The word kingdom is an English word. Two English words squoze together. A king's domain. King's domain. It's the Greek word basileia, which means the rule. Somebody say the rule. The reign. The realm. The reality of God. There's a B part that we miss here. In and through mankind. So the kingdom of God is the rule, the realm, the reign, the reality of God in and through mankind. Luke chapter 17, verse 21. You can just jot it down. Luke 17, verse 21. If you got it, Jason, you can follow me and pop up there where they can see it just to validate it. Luke 17, verse 21 says that when they say that the kingdom is low, it's here and low, it's there. He said, don't pay attention to them. He said, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, point at yourself right here and say, the kingdom is within me. So Jesus told you to seek first that kingdom, that rule, that realm, that reign of God, that reality of God that is in and through mankind. Now, all truth is parallel. Here's what I mean. If you find the New Testament truth, it has to run parallel in the Old Testament. The Old Testament or the Old Covenant is the New Covenant concealed. The New Covenant is the Old Covenant revealed. That means that things from the New Covenant were hidden in the Old Covenant. Things in the Old Covenant, are you hearing what I'm saying here? Are revealed in the New Covenant. So when you see that God is telling us to seek the kingdom, the rule, the realm, the reign, and the reality of God that is in and through mankind, we should be able to find a parallel example or truth in the Old Testament. So if you go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, you're going to see this right here. Genesis 1 and 26, God said, let us, somebody said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion. The word dominion, same word, kingdom. You got to catch what I'm saying here. So God took man. You got to see this. I got to paint a picture to you because a lot of people have beaten down the image of who we really are. God took out of himself. Listen, when he made man, he didn't take the seeds of the earth and duplicate man after that image. If you look through Genesis 1 and Genesis chapter 2, you'll find out that everything was created after the image of something else or after its own kind. But when it came to mankind, God said, let us make man after our kind. So the physical body that you were in was made out of the dust of the ground. But you are not dust. Your earth suit is dust. You were made out of that God kind of stuff. You got to hear what I'm saying. The Bible says in Genesis 2 and 7 that God took the man that he formed out of the dust of the ground and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That means that God took that physical body that he made out of dust and he said, and he put himself in that physical body. You got to catch what I'm saying here. You got to hear what I'm saying here. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. I'm trying to talk to you today. See, you're bigger than what you think you are. See, you are made in the image and the likeness of God Almighty. I tell people this right here because if you're carnal minded, you won't understand what I'm saying here. But I tell people this right here. Romans chapter 1 tells us that everything, even the eternal Godhead, could be understood and conceived or perceived by things that are made in the natural. So here's what I mean right here. I could look at a natural example and I could see how God operates. So God takes a man and a man has a seed within himself. That man plants that seed within the womb of a woman and then something made in his image comes out. Now I'm trying to show you something right here. See, the Bible says before the foundation of the world, you and I were found in him. Somebody say in him. In him. So watch this. Jesus said, except a man or a woman be born again. Somebody say born again. If you look it up in the Greek language, born again means to be born from above. Glory be to God. I'm trying to help you out here today. You were born from above. Come on, say I've been born from above. Let me just show it to you in the scripture. Look at St. John chapter 1. Turn to St. John chapter 1. I want to show it to you in scripture. Because see, you can't cross over into the realm of the supernatural where you're supposed to be every day of your life if you don't get these things in your spirit. You got to get your mind renewed concerning who you are in Christ. Amen? St. John chapter 1. Look at verse 12. It said, but as many as received him. Raise your hand if you have received him. Watch this. To them gave he what? Power to do what? Become the sons of God. Even to them that believe upon his name. Watch this right here. Verse 13. Let's read it all together. 1, 2, 3. Which were born not of, nor of the will of the, nor of, but of what? You've been born of God. Tell your neighbor, say, I've been born of God. See, that's a place right there to slip a hand clap in right there. You've been born of God. Now, open up your mouth and say that. Say, I've been born of God. I've been born of God. I've been born of God. See, that's why I tell people, and I revert back to this when people see me, and I say, man, you know, you could change. You can become anything great. And they tell me, oh, I'm a gangster. I'm like, you're not a gangster. You identify yourself with what you do rather than who you are. You're not a gangster. When you start identifying yourself with what you do, you limit yourself to what you do. Therefore, when what you do changes, then where are you at? Because you identified yourself with what you do. That's why people, if they're doctors, lawyers, school teachers, whatever, they lose their job, they get all depressed because their identification was in what they do. But guess what? I am not me because I'm a pastor. Claude E. Bevere was Claude E. Bevere before he became a pastor. So you can't identify with what you do. You got to identify with who you are. And once you start identifying with who you are, it'll make what you do look good. Are you catching what I'm saying? So guess what? They can fire you today and tomorrow. You, the real you made in the image and likeness of God. You can't be stopped. They can shut every door on you. They can put every roadblock, every obstacle, but they can't stop you. Because if a man closed one door, God will open up another door. You better catch what I'm saying today. Tell your neighbor, say, I am the image of God. Now, let's go over here and let's just look at this right here. He said also to seek first righteousness. Somebody say righteousness. Now, I challenge you. You have to be a Bible student. You cannot just read the naked King James Version. You got to go into the original language because Jesus did not talk English, nor did Jesus teach talk Greek. Jesus talked in the Aramaic language. You hear what I'm saying? Jesus was a Hebrew. Hear what I'm saying here. So we have the old covenant, which is Hebrew. Somebody say Hebrew and Chaldean. Then we have the new covenant, which was originally translated in Hebrew. Somebody say Hebrew or written in Hebrew. But then because of the whole Constantine thing and the Roman Catholicism movement, all of the language brought the Bible into one language, which is the Latin. Somebody say Latin. So that's where we get the Greek and the Latin from, or the Septuagint and the Vulgate and all that stuff. And that stuff you talk about in Bible school. But I'm just trying to show you something. So you have to, if you're going to study the Word of God, not just the pastors, you have to do what is called etymology. Somebody say etymology. This is word study. That's why it's important you to know what words mean. Because in the English language, we take words and we squeeze them together. For an example, somebody say, that person is abusing their kids. And a lot of us went to school our whole life and didn't know that abuse was a squeezed together word. Two English words abnormally used. I'm trying to show you something. But in the English language, we squeeze them together. I don't know if it's because of laziness. I don't know what it is. I'm just joking. I'm just being funny. But to abuse means to abnormally use. So if you do etymology, which is the study of words, you can find out the original intention of the person who wrote it. Now, we know that all scripture was God-inspired. Somebody say God-inspired. But watch this. These holy men of old wrote and they penned it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But throughout the dark ages, we have these different translations and stuff like that. And because of these translations, what happens is that if you don't study beyond those translations, you'll just take the scripture for what you think it is, when really it means something else. And I'm trying to show you something right here. So now, he said, seek first righteousness. Somebody say righteousness. The word righteousness literally means this right here. Righteousness which belongs to God, or God-like righteousness. Now take your neighbor and say, neighbor, I have obtain righteousness like God. This word righteousness is translated in our English language as the word equity. The word equity means equal value. Somebody say equal value. Now, I gave you an example a couple weeks ago, and I had a person come up here, and they had a $7,000 wedding ring on, amen? And I asked them, could I buy that ring from them for $5? And they told me no. I'm the pastor, and they told me no. Then I said, can I buy that ring for $100? And they said no. And I said, why can't I buy that $7,000 ring for $100? I'm trying to show you something. And they responded to me, because that which I'm trying to offer is not equal to the value of that ring. So the law of exchange is, if I want to purchase something, I have to have something that is equal to the value of what I'm attempting to purchase. If I'm going to go buy me a car, I'm not going to walk up there and pull off the lot, you know, a Hummer with $10, because my $10 is not what? Equal to the value of the Hummer. If I go buy me a pair of jeans from Walmart and they $39, and I walk up to the cash register and say, here go $5, guess what? I'm going to walk out of that store empty-handed, because my $5 is not equal to the value of what I'm trying to purchase. So God being the original Jew, somebody say God is the original Jew. See, a lot of people don't want to equate this with God, but he owns everything. The Bible said he owned the cattle of 1,000 hills and the cattle. The Bible said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world and them that dwell therein. For God so loved the world. You look at the word world right there. That word world means the entire material universe and everything in it. Not just the people, but the entire material universe and everything in it. I'm trying to show you something. God loves his creation. Man, that's powerful right there. So because God owns everything, and him being the original Jew, watch this right here. He knew in order to purchase us, he had to have something equal to the value of what he was purchasing. Lord, have mercy. I got one person caught it right there. The Bible said you have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. The word redeemed means to buy up. That means you were enslaved and there was a high price on your head. But God said, I got the money, baby. And through the death of his cross, the Bible said the wall of partition was broken down, and everything that separated you and I from God was moved out of the way. So you were purchased by the blood of Jesus. So understanding righteousness, watch this right here. Righteousness meaning the God kind of righteousness. A lot of people told us, because it's translated in the Amplified Bible as right standing with God. So I translate this right here like, whew, I'm not going to hell. That's not what it means. What it means is that God reinstated you back to your original intention. You who once were alienated from the life of God, you have now become a fellow citizen of the Commonwealth of Israel. Commonwealth, which means equal. You got to catch what I'm saying. This is what it means right here to be the righteousness of God, is that you are no longer a sinner. You cannot be a sinner and be a saint simultaneously, because only people who change personalities like that, they're schizophrenic. And we are just like Jesus, therefore we're not schizophrenic. Lord have mercy, I'm preaching good. You better follow this right here. So what I'm trying to tell you right here is to seek the kingdom means that you have to aim at that realm of where God is. Because God done called you up to a whole nother level. Deuteronomy chapter 28 said, if you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God and do everything that I tell you to do, he said, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to set you up on El Elyon. The word El Elyon means Most High God. That means daddy going to put you up on his lap. He going to whisper in your ear and say, son, daughter, look at this right here. Lord have mercy. I'm trying to show you something right here. See, God wants us. That's what 2 Corinthians chapter 13 or 14 verse 13 says. It says the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion. Another English word scores together. Common union of the Holy Spirit be with you always. The word communion is the Greek word koinonia, which means the partnership. Somebody say partnership. See, God don't want you to be a servant. He wants you to be a partner. Lord have mercy. I'm trying to show you something. See, there is a place in God where you and I get so one with him. And our heart is surrendered to him. Where we become completely obedient to him. To where wherever he tells us to go, we follow. That's where the power is. The power is in obedience. Obedience, watch this. Obedience is only controlled when you don't have a relationship. I just said something powerful. Obedience is only controlled when you don't have intimacy and you don't have a relationship. But when you are intimate with God the Father, obedience comes out of a willing heart. Come on, somebody say amen. See, he says seek the kingdom. Somebody says seek the kingdom. And his righteousness. Now, why did he say and his righteousness? Because righteousness will result in confidence in God's word. Here's what I mean by this right here. When you understand what Jesus did on the cross, when you understand that his blood totally annihilated every perception of wrong that God had about you. That's why Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 says, I know the thoughts that I have toward you. See, you got to line your thoughts up with God's thoughts. See, we think God hates us and God want to smack us for every time we do wrong. He said, but the thoughts that I have towards you are good and not of evil. And most people can't receive and appropriate from God anything or any of his promises because of their perception of how they think God thinks about them. So you got to change the way you think God thinks about you. You got to first receive or apprehend or take to yourself his love. That means if every day you got to get up in the morning, you got to say, you know what, God loves me. God loves my breath is funky in the mug right now, but God loves me. I just farted and passed gas, and God loves me. Hey, I got to do something to make some of y'all wake up in here. Amen. See, when man gives up on you, God never gives up on you. I told my son today, I told him today, I said that that's why we as men of God, we got to walk in love. Y'all remember those four steps of relationships or four levels of intimacy? The first one is association. That's where you join people because of common interests. You never find a person hanging around a person that they don't have something relevant or in common with. So that's the first level of association. And then because you associate that with that person, you start moving to that level of communication where you exchange ideas and thoughts, but you're giving them your thoughts and your ideas. You're not really giving them you. The third level is that you move into participation where it becomes selfless now. Now you start giving in the relationship and they start giving in the relationship. It's a trick though. Once you get to participation, the last stage is revelation. That's where you begin to uncover yourself. In this stage of revelation where you start uncovering and showing who you really are, because we as people innately, we get up in the morning and we got a whole shelf, a whole pantry full of masks that we put on. I got to put on my thug mask today. I'm going to take that one off. I'm going to put on my husband mask today. I'm going to take that one off. I'm going to put on my businessman mask today. And I'm going to take that one off. I'm going to put on my whoremonger mask today. Come on, somebody say amen. So the stage of revelation is where I take off all those masks and you see who I really am. Not who I am on Sunday. Because guess what? When I leave here and I'm done preaching this anointed word of God, when I go home, guess what? I got Fruit of the Loom drawers on right now. I'm a regular man just like you. I put my pants on one leg at a time. And sometimes my big toe get caught on the inside of some loose thread and I'm mad and I rip the pants. You better catch what I'm saying. Guess what? That's why you need love. Somebody say love. Because if you don't got love, once you start seeing each other's faults, you're going to run off. You're going to cut covenant. Why? Because you see inside that person probably something that's on the inside of you. And you already know something wrong with you. And you know how you would respond in that situation. So you know because you see the same thing in them that you see in you, that they're going to respond like that. But what love got to do with it? See, when you walk in love. When you walk in love, you overlook the wrong. The Bible said love covers a multitude of sin. See, that's what God did. When you accepted Jesus, you accepted love. And all God sees when he looks at you is love. He don't see nothing else. But see, you got to start seeing that for yourself. Glory be to God. That's a good place right there to give God some praise. I'm talking about you should be praising because thank you for that, brother. That's what I'm talking about. See, when you receive God's love, see, if I would have went by the judgment of what people had on me 5 years ago, I wouldn't be here today. What about when I was up in the house, Kareka, or when I was up in the drug house and we all sitting there watching pornographic films 22 years ago? If I would have stayed there in that mentality of what everybody who surrounded me thought I was and labeled me, I wouldn't be here today. And guess what? You can't stay where you are today because you can't exhaust where God is taking you. Here's what I mean when I said that right there. Oh my God, the Bible said that how unsearchable are his ways past finding out. That God's will, listen, God, the things of God are revealed by the Spirit and they are bottomless and they are deep. Why do I keep saying that to you? Because you probably think that you're limited. You probably think that God is done and he's tired of excusing you and your faults and your mistakes. But God knows exactly where you are. He knew every time you was going to goof up. He knew every time you was going to smoke on that smokey smoke. He knew every time you was going to tip up that 40 ounce. He knew every time you was going to get on the phone and cuss somebody out. God seen it before you said it. You got to catch what I'm saying. That's why love covers. That's why I can look at a person. I don't care what's wrong with them. You can tell me they got the worst situation in their life and I can love them. Because all I do is go back to the days I failed God. And I say, who am I not to love when you loved me? Come on, somebody say amen. So that's confidence. I'm going back to righteousness. You receive that love and you understand that you are righteous because of what Jesus did, not because of what you do. Now turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. I'm just building it. I'm going to shut it down in a minute. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. Can you put that one on the screen, Jason? Can you put it in the Amplified version? If you have it. If not, don't worry about it. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. See, I like to smack this whole religious spirit in his mouth. I like to do that. You want to know why? Because it's church folk that run people off. You know what I mean? We get a little bit of Holy Ghost, or we get three or four Bible scriptures. You know, Bishop Wayne T. Jackson told me yesterday, he said, son, he said, you can't be a regular pastor. He said, you gotta follow God. He said, you gotta follow God. He said, because guess what? Who was the people that killed Jesus? It was religious people. Matter of fact, the Bible said they'll take you up and bring you before the magistrates believing that they're doing God a service. It's religious people. Religion ain't relationship. I don't care how good your pews look. Amen. I saw an African pastor on TV. I swear to God, he had about 10,000 lawn chairs in his church service. They were all white plastic chairs and the place was packed with people, full of the power of God. God ain't concerned about all that religious stuff and all them views and image the way that we see it is. God is concerned about that inner man. You got to hear what I'm saying here. See, we know how to make it look good on the outside and be all dead men's bones on the inside. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. Look what it says here. On the count of three, let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. For he hath made him to be for us. Who knew what? That we might be made the what? Righteousness is not what you do. Righteousness is who you are. Say that with me. Righteousness is not what I do. Righteousness is who I am. Come on, one more time. Righteousness is not what I do. Righteousness is who I am. Now, am I telling you this to give you an excuse to go out and do wrong? No. I'm telling you this to empower you so that when you do wrong, you don't walk in lack of confidence. You continue to pursue God. Case in point. The book of Genesis, Adam fell from God. God came and said, Adam, where art thou? As if to say that God, who knows everything, didn't know where Adam was. He knew where Adam was. He wanted to see if Adam could locate where he was. Did Adam know where he was? And Adam said, look, I heard your voice and I hid myself in the midst of the trees. He hid himself. Somebody said he hid himself. See, when you don't have an understanding or a revelation of God's righteousness, every time you mess up, you're going to hide. Dodge the pastor's phone calls. He Facebooking you for 50 years and you don't return. No, come on, somebody say amen. You're hiding. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Sin will make you run, won't it? Come on, raise your hand if I'm telling the truth. Sin will make you run, especially when you have wronged somebody. You dodge that person that you have wronged. But it's the trick of the enemy, because if we're walking in love, it don't matter if you wrong me or not. We can walk in love and just write that thing, if write it off and just keep on moving. And don't hold no grudges and hold no records of wrongs. We got to walk in love. Somebody say walk in love. But see, when you understand who you are in Christ and you understand the price that Jesus paid, this is what happens. You get confident. Somebody say, I get confident. I get confident in my prayer life. I get confident in my walk with God. That's why Jesus says, seek first the kingdom. Somebody says, seek the kingdom and his righteousness. And all these other things will be added unto you. Now watch this right here. Turn to James chapter 5. I want to show you why he said righteous. James chapter 5. This is powerful right here. Look at verse 14. It says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The prayer of faith shall do what? And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be what? Now this is powerful. Because most people, when they mess up, we write them off, don't we, y'all? Come on. Come on, let's be honest. Don't we write them off? Amen. Look at verse 16. Let's read that together on the count of three. One, two, three. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Here we go. The effectual, fervent prayer of a... Now, how come he just didn't say the effectual, fervent prayer of a man of God or a woman of God availeth much? Because it don't. Hear what I'm saying here. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The Amplified says makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Here's what I'm saying. When you have a revelation of righteousness, it will develop in you the confidence necessary to be like Elijah. Keep reading. Let's look at verse 17. Look what it says here. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he did what? He prayed earnestly that it might not, and it what? Rain not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Read verse 18. And he did what? And the heaven did what? And the earth brought forth her fruit. What am I trying to say here? A man of God or a woman of God who understands their place or their position in Christ. Understand that I'm not righteous based upon what I do, but I'm righteous based upon what he did. You and I have the ability through that confidence to cross over into supernatural. Glory be to God. How did he tap into supernatural power to where he could stop rain for 3.5 years? This ain't just no little Bible study. This ain't Disney Channel. This is a real occurrence. This man of God prayed and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. I'm trying to show you something here. His prayer, it was effective. It was fervent. Why? Because he knew who he was. He knew he had a right to pray. See, why did Rosa Parks decide not to go to the back of the bus this time? Why? Because she knew she had a right. Why did Dr. Martin Luther King, you know what I'm saying? Why did he, the whole civil rights movement, why did he stand in the midst of bombs and gunfire and hatred and violence? Because he knew he had a, well, guess what? The Bible said for you and I to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on to eternal life. What is he saying? Lay hold on to what belongs to you as a believer. Why did he say fight? Because he knew there was going to be opposition. Well, guess what? You don't never jump in the ring with a person and start fighting him if you ain't confident. See, I ain't getting in the ring with Mike Tyson. Come on up in here, Pastor Khan. I'm not getting up in the ring with Mike Tyson. Why? Because there's no confidence behind that. I'm not going to let him knock me out. You better hear what I'm saying here. Take your name and say, Pastor ain't scared, but he ain't dumb either. But hear what I'm trying to say. But if I have been training, if I have been exercising, if I have been in that trade for a while, guess what? My confidence will be built up to where I would step in the ring with him and fight the fight. I'm trying to show you something here. Turn to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. Tell you, say, neighbor, you got to get a revelation of righteousness. Look at verse 14. This is powerful right here. 14 and 15. Somebody say confidence. I preached on this one time and Pastor Sturgis told me, he said, man, that's my favorite scripture right now. Because you can't do nothing in life without confidence. The world even knows that. But see, it's a thin line between confidence in self and confidence in God's word. There's a thin line between it. See, you can have confidence in yourself, and that thing will convert in the natural over into arrogance. But when you have confidence in the word, it will convert into peace, because you know no matter what kind of hell you're going through, God is with you. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. It said, this is the what? That we have where? Circle in him. Circle in him. Help me again, brother. What's that? Come on, say it again. Now, watch this right here. The word in is an English preposition that denotes location. You are geographically located in the person of Christ. I'm going to say that again. The word in is an English preposition that denotes location. You and I are geographically located in the person of Christ. See, that's revelation right there. That's why I got to walk it up. Because when I start talking about kingdom and I start talking about us taking back over the neighborhoods and taking over the educational system and taking over the entertainment system, for some people that's going to be way out there. Why? Because they're way down here in their thinking. That's why I got to build line upon line, precept upon precept. Because most Christians only believe church is what we do in these four walls. Baby, church ain't became effective until you cross over from doing into being. You don't, we got to get past the days of doing church. We learned how to do church good. We got to get over into the days of being the church. When Jesus spoke of the church, he wasn't thinking about four walls and pews. He was thinking about people. Somebody say people. Somebody say people. And see, he said, when I build my church, he said, the gates of hell will not prevail. That means that Satan and no demon in hell, no sickness, no disease, no poverty, no lack, no suffering, no want, none of that stuff can stop a person who knows who they are in Christ. Amen. Somebody say amen. Look what it says here. It says, this is the confidence that we have where? That if we ask what? How many things? How many things? How many things? Now, let's define anything. Anything could be your marriage. Anything could be your kids. Anything could be your car. Anything could be your house. Anything could be your motorcycle. Anything could be, you know, to get the wrong people out of your life. Anything could be what church you go to. Anything could be anything. Anything could be the pants you need for school. Anything could be the books you need for college. See, we got to get the whole religious mindset out of us. God is concerned about every intricate detail part of our lives. He ain't just concerned about if we know how to raise our hands right in church. He's concerned about every single part of us. He wants you to have anything concerning your marriage.